This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hello and welcome to Enlightened Empaths, your community for the spiritually awakened, where we discuss, explore, and connect with fellow empaths, healers, intuitives, and seekers. Hello, empaths. We're happy to be joining you this week with our monthly community connection show, where we get to hear from you and share some of your great stories and questions. Before we dive into them, I just want to remind everyone that my Be Your Own Psychic interactive four-week webinar is coming up. I'm going to be teaching it the four Wednesdays in April. Would love to have you join me. It is a very involved class. You get a lot of handouts. You get a lot of in-class practice. You're also assigned a different partner from class each week to work out some intuitive psychic practices on your own. It's designed for beginners. If you want to learn more about this class, you can go to SamanthaFay.com and click the upcoming events tab.
Beautiful. That's wonderful.
And I'm excited. I love teaching that class. And then you and I have to align our schedules so we can figure out some times when we can teach too.
Yes, because I'm still doing my mentor program, which is a 6-month opportunity that I offer the first part of the year, and that's going well. And I do offer standalone classes, which I advertise sporadically because it's more, but those are options as well. We've done some advanced mediumship. We're doing an intuitive tarot class. We work with the Akashic Records and shamanic journeying, and it's really, really a lot of fun. So I think it's important that we continue to offer different things and grow and evolve and see what we can explore together as community.
I do too. So you can check out Denise's work at thegratefulmessenger.com and mine at SamanthaFay.com. Okay, should we dive into our first listener email?
Yes. And the first one, I listened to your podcast about past life regression with Simon Bowne. I was particularly interested in Samantha's question about people who have no mind's eye and that they cannot visualize anything, known as aphantasia. I have aphantasia, but weirdly, I didn't know it until 2 or 3 years ago. I thought everybody was like me, that mind's eye was just a term, and that during guided meditations, I didn't know what other people actually saw the beach or the forest. Here's what happens when I'm doing a guided meditation that asks me to visualize a beach, a forest, a loved one. While I don't actually see these things, I absolutely know what is there and can describe everything in minute detail. The sound of leaves in the wind, birds, the sounds of my feet as they walk a path, the textures I feel a door or bench, the smell of the well-oiled hinges on the door. I don't actually see or hear anything, but I'm totally in the vision without seeing anything. While I'm doing a meditation without music or words, just sitting by myself, maybe out in nature, I clear my mind, breathe, say a mantra of sorts, then normally call in my loved one or my guides. And I've had many visual experiences, such as seeing my partner, taking his hand as we walk through the forest to a cabin where we go inside and talk. Again, I don't see any of this, but I know exactly what's happening and the conversations happen in my head. I don't know what other people with aphantasia do. I don't know anybody with it, and I don't know what people with a mind's eye do. Maybe they see all the same kind of things I know but don't see. I sort of look at it all like a person is blind or deaf. They often have very heightened other senses. I suppose in my case, my sense of knowing is very strong. I just know things, not just visuals, but other things about people. I sense and am aware of many things. Telepathy comes easily with guides, angels, and those who have passed. I dream vividly. I've heard my partner's voice audibly, though very rarely. I've had a few extraordinary moments of clairvoyance. I just thought it might be of interest to you both to know that those with aphantasia can circumvent any shortcomings caused by a lack of a mind's eye. Since I never paid any attention to not being able to visualize, it seems I unconsciously developed my own way of seeing by strengthening my sense of knowing. I love how beautifully written this was and how clearly it explains what that's like to have aphantasia. But equally, I appreciate that it highlights claircognizance or clairknowing, clairsentience or clairsensing. None are better or worse than another. They're all just ways to connect. And the fact that this person has found ways around not being able to visualize, but you sense it, you know it, you feel it, that's equally as important and valid as being able to see something in your mind's eye.
It really is. And we get a lot of emails about people who have this ability. And so I think it was just good to share this so others could hear they're not alone, and people who don't have aphantasia can understand what it's like. I think it's absolutely interesting.
Me too.
Okay, our next one says, if I'm going throughout my normal day and get an intrusive thought that sticks out to me, is it actually an intrusive thought or is it intuition? I'm asking because maybe I just need to adjust my language when talking to others. Yesterday, I was making a cup of coffee and not thinking about anything in particular when all of a sudden I had a thought of someone I know getting in some serious legal trouble. Any insight would be welcome. Okay, so I feel that when you get an intrusive thought and it's accompanied by anxiety and the message is kind of scrambled and mixed up and it's just very loud and anxious, that's usually fear coming from your ego. It's usually stress and not really anything. But when you have an intrusive thought that's repetitive, calm, consistent, the message doesn't change, and it comes like this listener was explaining, making a cup of coffee and not thinking about anything in particular, usually that is your intuition. And I do think it needs to be followed up with. I know with my intuitive friends and me, sometimes what we'll do is we'll just text that person like, hey, you've been on my mind a lot today. Everything okay? Do you ever do that, Denise?
All the time. Yes. And I think there's a spontaneity when it's more of an intuitive insight at times. But you're right about the anxiety thing, because I was in a situation the other day and I caught myself worrying and perseverating about something going wrong. And could it have happened? Sure. But it became almost, I couldn't get it out of my head. And I had to question, is this an intuitive hit or am I just in a fear-based place because of the circumstances that I'm in? And it was the second one. And when I got on the other side of it, I thought, boy, that was a waste of energy and time to get all worked up about something that didn't even happen.
Yeah. And sometimes it's a call when you do have those intrusive thoughts and you're not sure, especially if it could be like, you know, sometimes our intuition brings us negative messages that are kind of filled with anxiety, right? And so that's often a call for me to sit in meditation. I kept thinking about a friend. This was back in January, and she just kept popping into my head with her husband, and I kept seeing something switching with his job, and I was like, uh-oh, you know, because that's like the last thing, what's the last thing anyone needs is to have like a job loss. And so I just took a minute to ground my energy and open my chakras, and when I did that, I felt really excited and happy, not uh-oh. And so I did text her and I said, I think something good is coming to your husband. And it turned out that the boss was transferred and he was promoted to that boss's position. So the uh-oh I got initially was probably just my, intellect, my thought, my rationing. But when I meditated and was able to dive deeper, so that's something you can do too when you have an intrusive thought and you're just making a cup of coffee. Just take a minute to calm your energy down, open your chakras, and see if you can get some more information.
Well, that's great advice. That's really, really helpful. Our next one says, even though my best friend and I are 12 years apart and grew up totally different in different states, we are soul sisters. We met as EMTs on our local ambulance. I had joined first and we had a buddy system. When I heard we had a new crew member coming in, I said without thinking, I'll be your buddy. That was 30 years ago. About 5 years ago, we were driving, and I said, oh, I just remembered I had a dream about you last night. She said, I did too. I said, we were on an ambulance call for a woman in labor. She said, yes, my dream too. Then she went on to describe in detail what the house looked like, where the woman was. I couldn't believe it. We had the exact same dream, but the only difference was I saw the dream from my perspective, and she saw it from her perspective. We must be connected somehow. That is just fun as all out. Especially it shows the bond, the connection, and it supports that thought or that belief or that understanding that we can meet with people in that dream state. Even though we're both, you may be here physically in this realm, you can meet with people and connect in the dream state, which you know more about that than I do. So what's your take on this?
It's a shared dream experience. And I don't know, Denise, I could be wrong. I feel like when we have these shared dream experiences, we might be actually, like, they might have actually visited this woman and had this experience with her. Maybe in real life, this woman is about to give birth and she's super nervous about it. What if that night she had a dream that there was an ambulance call, she was in labor, and it was a way for her guides to prepare her subconscious for a happy labor. And these two soul travelers decided to, volunteer and help her work through that experience. I think
Oh.
so much happens on the dream level that we're not aware of fully.
Recently been having the same person show up in my dream, and it's someone from my past, someone there was a strong emotional connection. There isn't now, but I know that my subconscious or spirit is trying to get something more through. And it would be interesting to reach out to that person and see if they're feeling that connection as well.
Yes. Yeah. And I always wonder when that happens, are they tugging on your cord or are you tugging on their cord that exists between you two?
Right, which comes back to that perceive and receive conversation we had a while back.
Yeah. Love it. Okay. Our next one says, I was recently introduced to the book Emotion Code, and it has been life-changing, even in just the few short weeks I've had it. A couple of weeks after reading it, I went to a metaphysical store and saw a crystal geode in the window that was a beautiful red. I picked it up and it was a zeolite. I put it down, continued my shopping, and then left. The whole evening I kept thinking about it. I knew I wanted it. I had felt this way about crystals before because of the way they looked or how they felt, so I figured this was just the same thing. I went back the next day and bought it. I then realized the red was because it had been dyed. I'm not a fan of this kind of man-made interference with crystals, but the thought of leaving the store without it made me sad, almost like it was sad that I was second-guessing buying it. I decided to get it and brought it home, and I cleansed it and even told it sorry that it had been dyed, and it just felt so happy to have come home with me and not be in that store anymore. I practiced meditating with it, and the peace it brought me almost immediately after closing my eyes was something I never felt before. I decided to learn more about zeolite and realized it was a crystal that a lot of times Reiki practitioners like to use because it's good for releasing toxins emotionally and physically. And then it clicked for me. I was meant to get this crystal to help me work on the trapped emotions I had just started working on with the emotion code. I've heard of crystals finding you or you finding them when they are needed for a certain time in your life, but this has never happened to me. But I know this is what is happening now, and it sits next to me every time I'm working with the emotion code. Oh, I love that. I love story. What a crystal rescue story.
Yeah.
And It's like that old saying, you know, who rescued who? Did she rescue this crystal or did this crystal rescue her? And I wonder, I feel the same way. I'm not a big fan of dyed crystals, but, you know, it's fine, to each his own. It doesn't take away from the fact that it is originally a zeolite or a quartz, but I totally get what she's saying. What I really hate is when you go into any Home Goods or TJ Maxx, you will see inevitably a beautiful agate or amethyst that is imprisoned in a shadow box frame. I don't like that, but I digress. I do think that when these crystals call to you, it is for a reason. And I wonder if the fact that this stone, this beautiful zeolite, was dyed is actually symbolic of what she's going through with the emotion code. You know how sometimes, especially I think for us empaths, we're told, be smiley, be happy, or don't be so sad, or don't feel so much, don't be so darn sensitive. And so we get dyed with other people's expectations and projections onto us. And working with something like the emotion code helps us to strip all those layers, or peel off the layers of the onion, as they say. And I wonder if the zeolite being dyed red symbolizes that for her. Red is the root chakra, and so maybe what she's doing now is really working on coming home to her true self, the root of who she is, and this stone is in her life to help her do just that.
Wow. It is amazing to me that I've had that feeling before where I've gone back to get a stone or a crystal or something that it calls you, and you don't know why you need it or why you want it, but it becomes, this has to be with me.
Yeah.
And I think I agree with you about the dyed and the non-dyed and the natural. And so I appreciate that you put that point out, that it doesn't impact the quality of what the stone is or what it can do for you.
Love it.
The next one, last month, a listener named Taylor sent in a dream she had about her friend Sue, who'd passed away unexpectedly. In the dream, she saw Sue wearing her trademark vibrant lipstick, waving to Taylor. Well, she emailed us a follow-up, and we thought you'd want to hear it. I was running late this morning, and I was flustered, so I put on this month's Community Connection show and was delighted to hear you all tell my dream story. I got to work where I was absolutely bombarded with tasks, but when I went to pull up some data out of our computer system, I saw an old report Sue had used at one point. It made me smile, and I thought, wow, two hellos from Sue today. I thought to myself, who cares if today is a dumpster fire? It put a huge smile on my face knowing Sue was there with me. Then this evening, I listened to this week's Psychic Teacher's show, and Deb mentioned the name Susie, which was one of my friend's nicknames. Three hellos from Sue in one day. It was magical. Just felt the need to share and say thank you. I know Sue is pretty pleased with herself. I got a glimpse of her in my mind's eye, wearing her sunglasses and vibrant red lipstick, and with a glass of wine in her hand, doing her little shimmy maneuver she did whenever she was excited about something. I told her to keep it coming. That's so fun. That is so, so fun. And I think we all want to know our people are still around. I had a friend pass recently, and she came through so vibrantly to let me know that she was okay. And it touches your heart, and it keeps them with you. It's so important. And if you're not getting the signs, or you're not feeling your friends, or you're not feeling like they're letting you know they're all right, please know they're working on it too. And sometimes it takes a little time.
It does take a little time. But when you do get the sign, and you say thank you, and you're excited, and you're happy, that strengthens the connection and gives a lot of energy to encourage more of those signs. So I think it's so important that our listener is recognizing this and holding on to it and using it to switch the energy from her dumpster fire day, because we've all had those days.
Yes, we have. And I love the fact that she said she did a little shimmy maneuver.
I do too. We have another follow-up from a listener that demonstrates how important it is to feel comfortable sharing these wondrous experiences. I hope you guys remember this story our listener Allison shared. I know I did. It has definitely stayed with me. She shared about her precognitive dream involving her father's surprise passing. So if you remember, she had this dream that she picked up her parents from the airport, but her dad wasn't there. And in the dream, she was wondering like where her dad was, why her mom was holding his suitcase and her suitcase. But when she woke up, she didn't think much of it. However, when her mother called to tell her that Allison's dad had passed away from a heart attack while they were on their vacation, and she would need to pick up her mom from the airport, Allison was shocked to see the events play out just as her dream predicted. As you can imagine, this left her with some residual feelings of guilt. Denise and I hopefully pointed out that events predicted in precognitive dreams aren't meant to be stopped. People have tried to, but typically these dreams are just our soul's way of reminding us that something really important and life-changing is coming up, rather than a tool to change the future. So here's what Allison wrote to us. Thank you for sharing my question on your show. Your responses brought a lot of clarity to my precognitive death dream. I shared your podcast, which included my question with my mother. I had mentioned the experience to her years ago, but she wasn't in a place to want to hear about the dream, nor did she really understand the depths in which it affected me. We've talked a lot about it this week, and I feel the experience has made us closer. Being vulnerable and sharing this experience was hard for me, but I feel like a weight has been lifted off of me. Hearing you read the question and answer brought healing to us both that I didn't know we needed. I will forever cherish your show and the opportunity it has given me to share my story with my mother and the world. I mean, that's so beautiful. And it's such a reminder. You know, Denise, I still have this experience, but definitely early on in my spiritual awakening, I would have these profound, wonderful things happen to me, and I would share them with close family, and they would be like, oh, wow, that's really great. And then, you know, what are you making for dinner Easter Sunday? You know, like we would just move on. And I was like, right. No, you don't understand. Like, this is changing my entire life. And it left me feeling pretty alone and isolated during that time. And I've talked to a lot of those family members through the years, and they just, like she was saying, they just weren't ready to hear it. It didn't fit within their paradigm. And often when we have an experience that doesn't fit within our or someone else's paradigm, it scares us. And so we just ignore it. And so, I don't know, I loved her email because it reminds me of why we do this show, but it also reminded me of how important it is to be brave enough to share these experiences with close friends and family.
Yes. And that seems incredibly important right now, is to find community, to find a safe place, to find one person. I was speaking with someone recently and I said, you know, there's usually someone that will pop up wherever you are that you'll make that connection with, whether it's in a work environment, and it may be as simple as you notice a crystal on their desk, or you notice that they have a book in their bag that is one that is interesting. Years ago, I went to this event, and it was an in-home concert. This person used to have concerts with local musicians in their home, and I went. And I didn't know them, but I went to use the restroom. And when I was there, there was a book that was a woo-woo book. And it changed my whole perception of how I interacted with the people, the conversations we had, because I knew they had my vocabulary, that they knew my world. And it changed our relationship and turned into a beautiful friendship. So you pay attention to those little subtle cues, because sometimes that can help us find our community of folks as well.
Yes, it really, really can. And you just never know what it could be. I think I shared this on this show. It might have been on Psychic Teachers. But when I was at the Edgar Cayce ARE meeting listeners, one listener told me a story that I will never, ever, ever forget. She had a coworker, and they were, you know, coworkers and acquaintances. And I can't remember, one of them said something spiritual, like something about a crystal. I can't remember what it was. And the one coworker said, yeah, I heard it on this podcast I listened to called Enlightened Empaths. And the woman that I met at ARE said, you mean Samantha and Denise? I listened to her other podcast, Psychic Teachers. And they had worked side by side and never knew they had this whole metaphysical connection.
Oh,
isn't that the coolest thing?
That is so fun.
Yeah. Oh. Now, meanwhile, there are other things, though, that it kind of like the flip side of that. Now, if you walk into my house, Denise, you wouldn't be like, dang, this chick is weird. But, you know, there are signs. I have crystals and bowls in every room. I have crystals in the windowsills. And I have an entire wall of books in my bookshelves. And they're kind of, you know, I've got a whole shelf just dedicated to magic. I don't do magic. I don't even know if you say do magic. I don't, but I love to read old historical stuff about magic. I have an entire shelf on angels and about three shelves on crystals. So it's not like I have, you know, the latest Colleen Hoover in my bookshelf, right? Mm-hmm. And it's funny to watch people's expressions when they come to my house. I do have, like, I always keep my little bowl of all my smudging stuff in my kitchen just in case I have to. I have a singing bowl in my living room. And every single time that I host book club, there's this one member who can't come when it's my turn to host.
Oh.
And I have told everyone, like, I think she's like afraid to come into my house because it's like there's too many crystals and it goes against her religion. And they're like, oh, Samantha, you're so sensitive. Okay. So I'm hosting book club tonight. And guess who can't come? What do you think?
I would lean towards there's something that makes her a bit uncomfortable. Yes.
Yes. I don't know. So either way, I still say share who you are and share your metaphysical and spiritual experiences. Share your hellos from heaven because you never know what door it's going to open. And if someone isn't ready to hear it, look, this person in book club is absolutely wonderful, a delight and a true treasure and a lovely friend. But if she's not comfortable being surrounded by all those crystals and smudge and weird books, you know, more power to her, you know, it's okay.
And that's important is to... recently I received an email from someone who used to be in this world and now has gone back to more of a traditional religious perspective and sent me some resources and shared their perspective. And I read through it and I listened to the information that they sent me, and it didn't change who I am, but I also equally respect what their belief system is. And I think that's so, so very important. Just it's the core of everything. Just because someone doesn't see it the way that we see it doesn't make it right or wrong, or that they're trying to undermine us or that they think we're this or that. That goes back to what you said earlier about, are you going into a fear-based place or being persecuted? People are going to think what they're going to think. It's none of our business.
No. It's none of our business, and there's room for all of our beliefs and faiths and modalities. And I think if we demonstrate respect and understanding for their faith and belief, maybe it'll start, you know, a flip side as well.
Yes. So our next one is, we've gotten a lot of great feedback from our shows on healing the inner child and wanted to share what some listeners had to say. Those were impactful episodes, and from a personal note, they were not the easiest ones to record. There was a lot in those. It's a lot of information and a lot of depth. The first one says, I almost skipped this episode as I felt I'd been doing the work of inner child healing forever, but wow, I love the way you brought it together. I saw so much of my life in this, and I could feel how far I've come. However, the insights and healing just continue. Even though many of my older loved ones have passed, I knew it, but hearing the reminders about how they and other generations before have had many hardships really helped with continuing to release and starting to forgive. At 66, it takes time. I know the feeling of growing up with a rageaholic. I wish I was here at this point in my spiritual journey when I was a parent of my two 30-something daughters, but things happen in their own time. I feel this episode was very helpful on many levels and that there were ideas I'd never heard before or maybe never quite understood. And this listener was left with some questions after listening to that show. I just listened to the Healing Your Inner Child episode. It was fantastic. I'm wondering if you have any recommendations for things to do to release yucky energy after being around certain individuals, like a cord-cutting meditation or something like that. I recently noticed that after leaving a casual family gathering, my anxiety was very high. My anxiety had been non-existent prior to this gathering, so the difference was stark and obvious. Nothing especially dramatic occurred at the gathering. I just think I'm becoming more aware of my dad's energy on me as well as other family members. A couple weeks prior, I had a Reiki session and felt so good after. Short of going for more Reiki session after every family get-together, what can I do to help myself clear and cleanse my energy after being around codependent or otherwise toxic energy individuals? I'm kind of a fan of shields up before you go in. That can help. Of sometimes leaving, and this sounds a little silly, but if you're driving away from that, pull over and like energetically get out of the car and brush yourself off, leave it behind. Visualize like when you get in the car that you're blocking out that energy and leaving it back at that place. That you can, it's amazing to me the power of visualization in setting energetic boundaries and not owning other people's toxicity.
So true. I have a really inappropriate saying that I do before I enter a gathering like that. Mm-hmm. Can I share it?
Yeah.
Tits up, shields up. And I have noticed, so what I do before I'm entering a gathering where I feel like there might be some, I call it being slimed, like from the old Ghostbusters movie, from negative people, I will envision my shields up, but I will also pray. Mm-hmm. And I have noticed that times when I forget to pray, it does have an effect on me. But if I take a moment, either before I leave the house or when I'm just sitting in the car in the driveway, gathering my things before walking in, and I just, you know, in my belief system, I will say a Hail Mary and I'll just ask that mother energy to surround me and protect me and shield me from absorbing any negativity or anxiety from other people. It works. And the other times when I'm rushing and I forgot to bring the cake I promised and the bottle of wine I said I'd bring, and I forget to say that prayer or put my shields up, there's a difference. There's a total difference.
I agree.
I think all of your suggestions are perfect. I think cord cutting, like the listener mentioned, is fantastic. Remember, cord cutting is never a one and done. You got to do it over and over sometimes, especially with family members that we're really corded to. And something else I'm a big fan of is taking a salt bath. If you do feel like you've been energetically slimed, you can just run a bath and put a cup of Epsom salts or sea salt. Some people like to add baking soda. And just soak in that energy, allowing that salt to pull anything negative from your body. I think that's really helpful. If you don't have a bath, you can just put a ring of salt around your feet in a circle in your shower and visualize the same thing. But anything you can do that just is intending to be shielded from that energy and intending to be cleansed from that energy, whether it is a salt bath or a chakra cleanse or a cord cutting, is going to be really, really helpful.
And I can't help but wonder if we've had this conversation, so many people seem to have chosen the role in their family to be the one that breaks the patterns or steps away from the toxicity or does it a different way. Is that another part of this in being able to distance yourself and say, okay, I'm going to stay in this place of who I am and what I came here to do? And I'm not going to be pulled back into the old patterns, the old beliefs, the old responses, because I do think it's a process of stepping into that role of being the one in the family who said, I'm going to do some big healing here and it's going to cause a ripple.
Yeah, I definitely think that's true. Okay, our next one says, my mom died when I was 11 in 1981. She took her life and my family did not talk about it or deal with it. I internalized lots of emotions and struggled with her death for many years. A couple of decades later, I was able to create a place for people experiencing suicide grief, and I led support groups for about 15 years, one of the most beautiful and humbling things I've ever been a part of. I found lots of healing for myself as well, but realized about 5 years ago that I'd been hanging on to some anger toward my mom. I decided to finally, fully forgive her and to honor her memory by hanging pictures of her in my office. When I did this, I told her how much I love her and that I forgive and honor her. I made a sort of ceremony of it. Then I asked her to show me a sign that she understood. A short time later, I walked out of my bathroom to find a penny in the middle of the doorway. I picked it up, and it was the year of my first child's birth, 1989. I kept it, thinking, maybe that's a sign from my mom. That same week, another penny showed up in the same place, the year of my other child's birth, 1998. Okay, what are the odds, Denise?
Mm-hmm.
Those pennies are both on my desk at work, reminding me that my mom is around and a part of my life. I also think that in releasing the anger and offering her forgiveness, she has had some healing as well. Because when I envision her now, she is smiling and happy. Oh my gosh, I love this story for so many reasons. Mainly though, because first of all, she took a terrible, painful tragedy and did something beautiful with it, leading these grief support groups for 15 years. That's amazing. I also love that she was able to be so incredibly honest with herself. Because sometimes when we put ourselves in that role of, I can lead this grief support group because I've dealt with the grief and I can help and da 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 da, that we feel almost as though we can't have any negative feelings about it, right? Like we've talked about this before, how I have a lot of friends who will be like, why are you so mad about this, Samantha? Aren't you supposed to be spiritual? And I'm like, look, part of being spiritual is being an angry bee sometimes, okay? But you know how sometimes you do feel that pressure of like, oh, I'm supposed to be spiritual, so I can't be angry or sad or mad or... So I love that she was able to admit that and then do this beautiful ceremony to express visually, emotionally, internally, that she does love her and forgives her mother. Think about how many years had passed. 1981 is when she lost her mom, and she's doing this just recently. Then she finds these two very specific signs. I mean, there's a reason why we have that expression, pennies from heaven. And both pennies happen to have the names of the years of her children's births. It's definitely her mother saying thank you and hello and I love you and thank you for your forgiveness. So the healing, the work, the progress, the love never ends. And I just really treasure this email story for reminding us of that.
Right. And the fact that she acknowledges that her mom has done some healing as well. And when she envisions her now, she's smiling and happy. Someone asked me a few days ago, they said, well, I'm confused because if you transition, and the woman is working on her mediumship, and she said, but they're coming through like they're still the same as they were here. And I said, well, they're letting you know that if they showed up with a different personality or they had evolved past where we would recognize them, you wouldn't be able to say, oh, yes, that's my person. So they're presenting in a way. And I said, and with time, it changes. And I think for those of us who have loved ones who have been gone for a significant amount of years or time, you start to feel that energetic difference in how they come through for you. Whereas some people come in right out of the gate, they're just love and pure and happy and joy. Some people, it takes a little bit more time for that to come through. And what the conversation steered towards was the person was kind of confused because they thought there would be a sense of they wouldn't still have the same outlook or feelings about certain things, or they might be more open-minded or from a kinder perspective. And I think we get to that point, but there is that they're going to let you know who they are as well.
Yeah, definitely. And we have to solicit that just as she did. You know, she did this beautiful ceremony of forgiveness and then asked her mom, like, hey, if you can see this, let me know. And I do think it's important to request those signs. Ask and you shall receive.
One thing that may be helpful, may not. I'm pulling together some stuff for a program I want to do in the fall. So some ancestral work and some blah, blah, blah. And one of the things was I've had it downstairs for years. I have a pencil sketch of my mother as a little girl. And I framed that years and years ago, right after she passed, because it helped me heal to think about a lot of the things that she struggled with. It reverts back to that inner child show, is that she had circumstances in her life when she was a little girl that did she have the resources or the ability to heal from those? Did she choose not to? I don't know. But when I look at that picture and see the innocence in that, it helps me to soften my heart and my memories as well.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah. Because we all have that innocence of a little child at one point.
We do.
So our next one, since my father's passing last October, I've noticed signs from him. When we arrived in Virginia for the service, my mom explained to my girls how Grandpa doesn't need his cane anymore because he's in heaven. My four-year-old told my mom, Grandpa has wings now. I knew that was something that my mom needed to hear. My dad had a beautiful service with all of his former police and sheriff's deputies in attendance from neighboring counties. He was also a veteran and one of the men who was able to form a motorcade for my dad's procession along with a police squad procession. It was amazing. The police stopped every intersection and stepped out of their squad cars to salute my father's passing casket. The priest did an amazing job. It was a sunny day, perfect weather. 2 weeks later, I was washing my hands when my right ear made a low-pitched sound, which I attribute to tinnitus as a military veteran. But after the deafness in my ear stopped, I heard a male voice call my name, Teresa. It sounded like my dad trying to get my attention. My heart started beating so fast and I panicked a little bit and then cried. Then a little later, my mom and I had to attend a wedding in Texas. We decided to stop at the local Goodwill to get a bedtime book for the girls since we forgot to pack one for the trip. There were only two books to pick from that were age appropriate for my girls. The book we got is called Heaven is for Real by Tom Burpo. I've also read Samantha's The Awake Dreamer, so I've been able to fall asleep with the intention of having a dream visit with my dad. In my first dream of him, I was walking in my parents' house and I saw my mom and dad on the couch and my daughters in the recliner chairs. It looked like they were enjoying their time and watching a movie. I couldn't see my dad's face though. I've also collected four white feathers since October 2023. Could that be my father communicating with me? How can I better connect with him? Are there any crystals that I can use to enhance our connection? I'm seeking closure and I don't know how to get it. Well, this is, I know we say it a lot, but this is beautiful. I mean, just you can feel the energy of how much respect that was given to her father with the processions and the priest doing an amazing job and the weather being perfect. And I mean, hugely 2 weeks, high five to her dad for coming through so strong by being able to call her name and get her attention. And it's a panicked feeling. You and I do this professionally. We have for many, many, many years. And when you hear a discarnate voice that you recognize as someone of yours that's passed, if it doesn't jolt you a little bit, then you're a hell of a lot stronger than I am, because it just freaks me out a little.
Me too. I have had that experience though, of having that ringing in one ear, mm-hmm. and then hearing a voice, and it always sounds like a voice through a tin can. Have you ever had that? It sounds far away. And it's really quick and fleeting. And it does kind of leave you going, wait, what was that?
Yeah, I've had, and because we've talked about clairaudience is usually in your own voice in your mind. I've had a couple times where I've actually heard, like I heard my mother's voice once, clear as a bell. I heard my father's voice once, and it was their voice. It wasn't my voice in my head. I've heard people use my nickname that I had when I was a kid, that not many people have ever known or used. And it jolts, I don't know, but it jolts me because you can never be ready for it.
No, you definitely cannot. I definitely think that she's having these connections with her father. The fact that she's collected the feathers and she's had a dream of him, the fact that she couldn't see his face in the dream, he hasn't been on the other side very, very long. And often it takes them a while to learn how to recreate their energy, their energetic physical form in the dream state. So to me, that all checks with what we know about our loved ones trying to connect with us from the other side. But he's definitely trying to get her attention and let her know that he's okay and he made it. There are some great crystals that can enhance that connection. There's actually a stone called dream quartz that helps enhance dreams. Lepidolite or lapis or unikite, howlite and amethyst are also great for that. But I'm a big believer in kind of like our previous listener with the zeolite. I think it's best to just walk into a crystal or metaphysical store and ask to be guided to the crystal that's best for enhancing your connection with your dad on the other side, and letting your intuition lead you to the right one rather than always seeking what the books say. You know what I mean? Just kind of setting that intention and then taking that crystal home, cleansing it with your intention in one of the many, many ways you can cleanse a crystal, and asking it to work with you for that specific intention of enhancing your connection with your dad. And know that every time you pray for him and pray for his journey on the other side, every time you light a candle for him, every time you tell a story about him, keep him alive through stories. Or like Denise was just saying with her beautiful example of framing a photo of her mom as a child, all of those things strengthen our connection to our loved ones on the other side. Don't you agree?
I do. And what a beautiful, sweet gesture to have one of two books be Heaven Is for Real
I
for
know.
those grandbabies.
I
That's
know.
beautiful.
I love it. Okay, our last one says, I'm so grateful for everything I've learned from you ladies about dream visits. I'm curious if you can participate in dream work with those still alive. I have several estranged people from my past that I've interacted with in powerful dreams that feel like visits. In one dream with a difficult and unkind old friend, she was very sweet and authentic and showed me a room of broken mirrors and said her mother broke her. I'm curious if you also believe these dreams were interactions with their souls. Do you think they had the same dream, whether they remember or not? Yes, this is like coming full circle with our first question of our time
Yes.
together with the shared dream experiences. Yes, I do believe that we do a lot of dream work with people who are still alive. And I think you can even do healing work with people who are still alive, not in the dream state. You know, just if you sit in meditation and you envision that person and you tell them anything you need to tell them, there's some great guided meditations you can listen to, or you can do your own where you picture you and the person in a lovely setting, like a garden or walking by the beach or up a mountain path. And you can tell them everything they've done that has hurt or bothered you, or you can tell them everything you've done that might have hurt or bothered them and ask for that healing and connection. And you can either visualize the cord going from your heart or solar plexus chakra to theirs. And if it's a negative interaction, you can cut that cord. If it's a positive one, you can breathe pink light through those cords and green light so that you send love and healing energy to that person. So yes, I think we can have these experiences during the dream state because, you know, as I said in my book, The Awake Dreamer, I do believe that 90-95% of our dreams are just our unconscious mind's way of working out stress or fear or anxiety or hopes. But I think a good 5 to 10% of those dreams that we have are not dreams, and that they are indicative of our souls traveling to wherever we need to go to have a shared dream experience, to have a precognitive dream, or to connect with someone that we need to facilitate or request some healing energy from and with. So there's so much powerful things that can happen in that dream state, but I don't think we have to wait for a dream experience like that to happen. I think we can solicit it as well with the intention through guided meditation, or you could set up a healing crystal grid. And put a picture or just the name of that person and send healing energy to them. But yeah, I definitely think that this was a real dream. And I agree. She, your old friend, probably had that same quote unquote dream, whether she remembers it or not. And she was explaining to you why she was unkind to you because she feels broken. And so, something I would do if I had a dream like this, I would definitely light a candle every day for at least 3 days for her and ask that the light of that candle surround her and fill her energy with hope and healing. I would also visualize a broken mirror coming together until it's whole. And I would visualize surrounding her with that mirror, kind of like a disco ball, so that your friend is put in a protective energy where she no longer feels broken. I don't like it when people say, you know, I'm damaged, I'm broken. I understand those feelings. Trust me, I do. But I think our souls are all beautiful and whole.
Very, very nicely said. And it always makes me a little, not uncomfortable, but feel kind of weird when people say, oh, I had a dream about you and you did this and this. And is there some aspect of me that has shown up in someone else's subconscious as a messenger? Or is it just, you know, I don't know. Do you ever get that feeling when someone says, oh, I had a dream about you? Do you get a kind of a, I hope it was a good dream?
I do. And I feel like, gosh, was it really me or what was happening there? And sometimes, you know, it can be a lot of things. I watched, my kids and I watched the new J-Lo documentary. And that night I had a dream about J-Lo. So was Jennifer Lopez in my dreams? No. I watched a documentary about her. It was still in my subconscious when I fell asleep. So I think sometimes people might have a dream about us because I know a lot of people fall asleep listening to our podcast because they think our voices are comforting. I think yours is comforting. I don't know about mine.
Yours is. So
if they dream about us, that's probably why, right? But I've had lots of listeners email me that, you know, I'm giving readings in dreams or I'm offering healing energy or I'm giving them advice. I do think a part of me was there because I've had so many dreams where I'm giving readings or offering healing.
I have a friend who lives in Canada who is amazing with what she brings through in dreams. Like she'll dream about what's going on in her work environment. She'll dream about her. And she recently lost a pet and the pet came to her and she had symbolism of the pet come in the dream. But I think for some people, that's their intuitive superpower is how it comes through. That's when they're the most psychic and in tune and receiving. And it can be an amazing, amazing gift to share with people with what comes, well, you know, better than anybody with your book and the work you've done with dreams. But do you feel that sometimes that's the way the intuition shows up for folks is through the dream world, not necessarily in day-to-day life?
Yeah. And I think, you know, how we've said on this show so many times before, like Reiki is like a gateway drug into metaphysical woo-woo, you know, it opens the doors. Crystal can be, oracle decks can be. I think dreams can be a gateway into understanding that you are intuitive. That's how it all started for me. And I remember one of the first spirit beings I encountered in a dream said, you know, we've been trying to wake you up to this for years. And finally, I came up with this idea of coming to you in a dream because it's not as scary in a dream. So I do think sometimes that's how our guides will start to kind of make us, I hate to say wake up because that's too pun intended, but make us aware of our intuitive self is by coming to us in a dream when our defenses are down.
It can be a hint too of how you might perceive things intuitively in your day-to-day life. So my dreams, there's always a lot of symbolism. There's always a lot of metaphors. There's always a lot of they're puzzles that I have to put together. And I'll dream the same, like lately there's been a whole lot of dream about bridges and bridges and bridges and bridges. And I know my subconscious is trying to say, okay, we'll get this through to you. You just have to keep. And the same people are showing up in the same circumstances, but it's not like I'm at the movies watching it happen. So it's peace. And that's how it works for me intuitively is I'll get signs, symbols, metaphors, euphemisms. That's how spirit connects with me when I'm bringing something through intuitively. So I think that can also be a way, it would seem, with how your dreams present, with how you might best receive intuitively in your everyday waking life.
That's so interesting, Denise. And that's a good tip to give to budding intuitives as well, because my dreams are symbolic, but they're almost like stupidly, literally symbolic. Mm-hmm. And when I do readings, my symbols tend to be very literal as well. Yeah. So like if I see someone working on a car, that person was probably a mechanic. You know, it's very simple like that. I remember the first days of the pandemic when my kids were trying to learn Zoom and Canva. I had this dream that we were driving up this mountainous road and it was called Misery Road. And we were trying to find, one had lost her backpack and two had lost their laptops. And so we were driving up this treacherous Misery Road trying to find these school supplies. Like, and I woke up going, gee, I wonder what that means. Oh, that's so funny. But I think it's a good example, this email, not my story, this email listener's story, that there's so much healing that can happen in our dreams. But also, as all of these stories have demonstrated, we can always invite more healing and forgiveness and love into our lives. We just simply have to seek it out, ask for it, and really be mindful of the fact that the inner work is never done. You know, like that listener who said she wished she had been on her spiritual journey where she is now when she was a younger mother. That really speaks to me, because I think parents are so hard on themselves, and we always think, oh, I wish I had done that. I wish I had done this. But I think these stories remind us that it's never too late.
No.
You know, it's absolutely never, ever, ever too late. So I hope these stories have brought you guys as much hope and inspiration as they have to us. We appreciate you guys so much taking time to send them in. If you want to send in a story or a question for our next Community Connection show, you can email us enlightenedempaths@gmail.com. If you like the show, please tell a friend. And we would love it if you would take a minute to leave us a review on iTunes. It really helps people to find our show. Thank you guys so much again for listening. Please remember, as always, to show up, do great work, and share your light.
Take care.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.